I can assure you that God is instructing us as parents are to take the role of passing from generation to generation to be godly individuals in the time that we're in. And how many of you know we need more of that influence?
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This is part two from the Favor Factor series. Let's go into the message today with Pastor Rogers. This is Family Favor.
From these two families, this study comes, and here are the statistics of two different families. From the Jukes family of vulgarity, perversion, and incarceration, 310 of the 1,200 were professional paupers. More than one in four were trapped in that kind of pauper mentality. 300 of the 1,200, one in four, died in infancy from the lack of good care and good conditions. 50 women lived their lives in notorious debauchery. That's a nice way to say what they were doing. 400 men and women were physically wrecked early by their own wickedness. 7 in this family were murdered. 60 were habitual thieves who spent on the average 12 years incarcerated. 130 out of this family were convicted criminals of more or less often of crimes that they did in the community. Conversely, the Jonathan Edwards family, righteous lineage and heritage that dated back generations, from Jonathan Edwards' descendants came one vice president, Aaron Burr, 3 United States senators, 3 governors, 3 mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 65 professors, 56 physicians, and 1 dean of a medical school, 80 public office holders, 13 noted authors, 100 lawyers, 100 missionaries and pastors, and over 300 preachers were found as the descendants of Jonathan Edwards' righteous lineage. I believe if there could be generational curses, there can be generational blessings. Every generation has its own character. So in the 60s, how many 60s children are there in here? And are not afraid to raise your hand, or you can still get your hand up. 60s had their deal, right? They had their deal. The 70s came along. How many 70s children are there in here? 70s came along. That's where the music was. Come on now. The 80s came along. How many 80s children are there in here? Yeah, that's where hair came in. Large hair. The 90s, I don't know what happened there. 2000, we turned over the millennium, and things have been changing rapidly ever since. It's actually a prediction of Bible prophecy in that things would speed up and the increase of knowledge would take place. In this high-tech generation that we're in right now, exposed to more than ever before, this is a broken generation in many ways because drawing their values and their influences is coming from fractured families and the absence of godly virtue and biblical illiteracy in this society because some smart people got together and voted prayer and Bible out of school. In spite of all the negative influences that have affected our society, I say to you today that this generation deserves to know the truth. That they might hear it and tell it to their children and their children's children. For every generation, hell has a plot. For every generation, heaven has a plan. And I can assure you that God is instructing us as parents, not the church, not the government, not the state, not the school. Parents are to take the role of passing from generation to generation the things of godly value, virtue, and the principles of God's word that has the power to influence their lives and for them to not only be good citizens, but to be godly individuals in the time that we're in. And how many of you know we need more of that influence? Now, Satan is all about trying to take out the next generation. So he starts with abortion. He starts with whatever that it may be to try to stop another generation from coming to serve the Lord. I want you to know the only way your children and your children's children are going to be able to know is if you tell them the stories of the Bible. One individual that I spoke to many years ago, he wasn't raised in church. He didn't know anything. He didn't know Noah from Adam. And I said, sir, you are still the priest of your house. I want you to go down to the gospel bookstore. I want you to buy the children's Bible book. I said, I want you to take it home and read those stories out of that children's Bible book and tell it to your children, and you read it, and at the same time you're telling your children, you're going to be getting educated too. He did exactly what I told him to do, and I can tell you it turned his whole family around as he made a choice that day to make God the head of his house. I want to tell you that there is no doubt that God is wanting us to be able to walk in the favor of God, but the only way you can do that is not by accident. You won't stumble into the favor of God in your house. You will create by intention a home that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because in a society that is mimicking that of Sodom and Gomorrah, you must be people of God who will train, teach, and instruct your children and your children's children and pattern that to such a degree that when they hit this world, they know the difference, ladies and gentlemen, between right and righteousness and wrong activity and wrong society. Because in the time we're living in, your children will never again, and mine and my grandchildren will never again see a day in America and even around the world where marriage will be defined between one man and one woman. They will be educated with the ways of the Babylonian ways, if you will, of this world. Therefore, we must take the Word of God and instruct them like we never have in the principles of God's Word so that that righteous seed can rise up again and call God, God. And I am persuaded to believe that in this society, that millennial generation is more hungry for an encounter with God than what most people would count. I know the statistics say they're leaving the church and all kind of things, but I got news for you. I believe if we'll create and build a big enough fire in the pulpit and in the house of God, someone said they'll come and watch it burn if there's enough of the power of God in that house to make a difference. When you're telling your children the stories, the godly principles, and sharing the stories of your life with them, most likely you're going to have to tell them that your story is much like a cereal box. That if you shake it like the family tree, you're going to get some fruits, flakes, and nuts in your house. You need to tell them, son, daughter, I know that uncle whatever is a little, but he's a knothead in our family tree. And oh yeah, your aunt whatever, there's some twisted sisters in our tree as well. But I want you to know we're rooted in some righteous rooting here in Jesus Christ. And no matter how the leaves may come out sometime, because we've been rooted by generational blessings, sooner or later they're going to hear it and have to come back to God because our parents and our grandparents and our parents before them sought the face of God. Your battles are not always about you. Often they are about the future of your seed or someone you're going to come in contact with that's going to influence their life for the kingdom of God. You can begin to be a family of favor if you get in the right position. If you can build a legacy of favor, ladies and gentlemen, you can see the hand of God generationally in your life. Hear what I'm telling you. If you really want your children and your children's children to be something and to do something and to have a purpose for their future, more than education, more than money, more than houses and cars, leave them a legacy of faith and favor that will outlive you long after you're gone. But the stories have been handed down of how one day that my uncle Philip, all of the siblings have all gone. My dad, just a couple of years ago, went home to be with the Lord. But my grandmother, a godly woman, a tongue-talking woman, as the story is told to me. My Uncle Philip had eaten some bad watermelon, and to the degree that he was dying. They were on the south side of Yellow River Bridge in Santa Rosa County, headed back to the hospital here in Milton. And in her arms, he died at the south side. His heart stopped, and all of a sudden on that old bridge, the Yellow River Bridge on 87, she began to call out on God, as I understand the story, and speaking in tongues over his life. By the time that they made it to the north end of the bridge and came off the other side, that boy had revived and he lived to be a ripe old age because he had a mama that knew how to talk to God. Go to the next picture. This is my mother and father. My dad was a lay preacher, worked with Gulf Power for 36 years. My mom worked at Sears and Roebuck. We owned a florist and dress shop, things like that, self-made entrepreneurs, but both of them had a godly heritage on both sides of their family. My grandparents on my mother's side were tongue-talking Pentecostals. They knew how to touch God. She's the one that I tell you that she prayed, and when my uncle prayed for a fish, two hawks flying over their house collided with one another, and the flounder that was in the claws of one of those hawks dropped that flounder. It hit the ground right at his feet. He picked it up, went into my grandmother on my mama's side. She fried it up for dinner, popped her Wrigley spearmint gum, and gave glory to God. I come from a righteous lineage. My father started the church that Tim Black now pastors that we parented at Oakland Assembly of God in 1950. I have a pulpit that's in my office that belonged to my father and to my grandfather, and occasionally I'll bring it out and preach from it because I know where I came from. And if I ever get off course, all I got to do is look at these pictures staring me in the face because they're not here on this earth. I had a real hard time here a couple of years ago when I went down and saw both of their names on the tombstone, because when you bury your parents, mom died at 55, dad at 91, I think it was. Isn't that right, sis? About 91, something like that. So I'm banking on dad's side at this moment. But I got news for you. There was a righteous heritage that was handed down in my life. And I stand here today because a generation before me didn't drop me off at church. They took me to church, taught me how to pray, taught me how to read the Word of God, taught me how to live right. And the next generation, come on, comes along. And here we are. And I want to state to you right now, we are in a double favor position because we are both third generation Pentecostal descendants. Her father and mother, her dad is here today, her mom and her grandparents who started many of the Church of God's in Mobile and around the Alabama district of the Church of God. So her heritage is three generations. Three generations of Pentecostals. I say it out loud because I know the devil's listening. That we're still here. I know the cancer got my mom at 55, but we're still preaching healing, and healing is still happening today. And it'll be all right, Mom. We'll be there in the morning. It'll be all right. I'm still in the faith. But something happens when a third generation serves the Lord, because it breaks something in your family when it goes to the fourth generation. Go to the next one. Because when that happens, you raise up another godly seed, and that's what the devil's afraid of. So as I speak here this morning, my son and daughter-in-law are out in kids' church today teaching the principles of God's Word to many of your children, and some who just arrive here have no biblical knowledge, but they're receiving Jesus Christ today because of a favoring generation. Come on, somebody.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.